Drew, thanks for doing this. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure, sir. I want to, I guess, take you back to the beginning of this season, to spring training, when the Blue Jays, I think, kind of knew going into spring that you were going to be in the rotation. They didn't want to say anything. I don't know if they wanted to see how the spring played out or anything like that, but it only took three or four innings of watching you to know that you were back and you were ready and set up for the year after the injury. Did you think back in March that you've got 185 innings in you, that you're going to be able to make 32 starts in the big leagues and stay strong start to finish?
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to, all the rehab and the work that you do, you obviously do it, to be ready for that and to build up your strength and to have everything ready to go. And that's your goal. So you obviously believe you're going to be able to do it. And then, showing that you can do it and proving that you can do it was, a big thing and something, that was a good step for me this year.
And it's interesting that, you refer to it as a step. You're only 24 years old, but it seemed to me like this is an establishment. This is sort of saying, all right, here we go now. Now I'm a big league starter, and I can be counted on as a major part of a rotation from here on out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, now being able to throw after throwing, the number of innings that I threw this year, from now on, hopefully it's, hey, you have X number of starts and, whatever you end up with, you end up with. And, hopefully there's no worries about it.
You seem to, I don't know, it was hit a wall or hit a rough patch for about a month around the All-Star break, middle of July to the middle of August, that ended with that 6-run first inning in Chicago where you gave up the 2 home runs and still managed to throw another 6 innings in that game and only give up 1 run. It was a 7-start run that the numbers were pretty rough, but there were a lot of people who, the big time analysts of baseball around here who said, well, there you go. That's Drew Hutchison. He's had a wonderful year to this point, but we're asking too much of him. And you came out of that after that Chicago game and after that 6-run first inning, gave up 16 runs in your next 47 innings to close out the season, which is an ERA under 3. Was there a second wind, or how do you account for coming out of that run for the last 6 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I just hadn't pitched well. I mean, there were a few times in there where I would make some mistakes and I paid for them. I'd have a couple bad starts back to back, and then next thing you're in a really rough patch. But after that, I was just able to pitch the way I know I'm capable of pitching, and I think that showed the rest of the way. I felt like I got stronger the last couple months also. There's no replacement for pitching and pitching innings in the big leagues. You can't replicate that. So I felt like, with the innings I threw, I built my arm up and got my arm strength. I don't want to say back because I had it back, but I feel like, I built additional arm strength, and, I think that definitely helped me the last, little bit of the season.
With Drew Hutchison, and is there any outing that stands out more than any other one? I mean, you had the great start in Texas. You had the Canada Day against Milwaukee. You almost, were an out away from a complete game one hitter against the Orioles. You had a great start against the Yankees. Is there any one that jumps out at you?
Probably the one against the Orioles at home, and then the one against the White Sox, as you mentioned earlier, as bad as it was there. And the first, I think I threw, close to 50 pitches in the first inning, and then to go 6 more, and I think I threw maybe 50 more pitches or less than that over the next 6. That one definitely stands out as well.
That White Sox game and the Philly game as well back in May, both kind of similar, although obviously the problem with the White Sox game happened earlier, but those both showed me what John Gibbons thinks of you. The Philly game back in May, the Blue Jays were up 5-0 into the 6th inning, and Bottom of the sixth, there was the grand slam by Cody Ashe with two out that tied the game, and shoulder slumped, and the Blue Jays were having a hard time at that point in the season as well. But then not only were you allowed to finish the inning, you came back and you pitched a 1-2-3 seventh and a 1-2-3 eighth, and the Jays wound up winning the game in extra innings. Is that the kind of thing that a manager can do, sending you back? Well, let me just ask you, what does that do for you to have the manager stick with you at that point?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you know, I believe I can go back out there and go three more, but to be able to given the opportunity to go back out there and then prove that you can do it, you know, that does a lot, you know, shows that they believe in you. And then when you're able to go out after being given the opportunity and deliver it and shows you can do that, you know, it means a lot.
Well, with Drew Hutchison, who's a big piece of Blue Jays' starting rotation, 24 years old, Marcus Stroman, 24 years old, Aaron Sanchez, 22 years old. People talk about you three as the ones who are going to be the big guns, this young, strong, controllable starting pitching that the Blue Jays have for the next little while. What about the old guys? What can you tell me about? I mean, the three of you are a combined, 68 years old, and and R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley are a combined 74 years old. Just the two of them. What do those two do for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at what they've accomplished already in their careers. You know, Mark's got the perfect game, the no-hitter, and, you know, R.A.'s won a Cy Young, and you see what all they've accomplished. And for me, you know, I like watching them, the way they handle themselves, what they do, you know, in between their starts, so just the way they go about their business. You know, with R.A., it's tough to, you know, watch during the game to see the way he pitches, because what he does is so different and unique and, you know, special to him. But, you know, when Mark pitches, just to watch the way he pitches on the mound and during certain situations, it's definitely great to watch those guys and learn from them.
Do you learn anything about durability from a guy like Mark Burley? I mean, you weren't around last year, Burley's first year, but he took, I think there were back-to-back starts where he took a comebacker off the thigh or the rib cage or the chest or something, and in midseason, and he didn't come out of the ball game. He shook it off. He was fine. It seems like the 200 inning thing is extraordinarily important to him, and he goes out and he's never missed a start in his entire major league career. I don't know that health is, health is health. When you get hurt, you get hurt. But is there something to be learned from watching him just kind of shake everything off and stick in a game no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, health is health. You know, you have to have a lot of things go right. But to do that for you know, 15, 14 years and go 200-plus, and, I mean, that speaks for itself. And to be able to be that durable, and yeah, I guess a lot of it is his mindset. You watch him out there, you know, the way he handles things, the way he handles situations. You know, I think it has a lot to do with his mindset also. And, you know, that's something you try to watch and learn from and try to incorporate into your own game.
With Drew Hutchison, and, we're taking your phone calls out there, and the numbers are, well, there's only a couple of lines open, so you know the numbers. If you want to call, say hi to Drew Hutchison and ask a question, you're more than welcome to. It is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show as we get you set for the National League wildcard game. Pittsburgh and San Francisco, Edinson Volquez against Madison Bumgarner. Before we hand it over to the fans, Drew, do you have a pick for tonight's game? Is there a team that you, not that you necessarily think is going to win, but is there a team that you'd prefer to win?
Unfortunately, us not being in it, I could care less, you know, kind of. I'm not going to root for a certain team. Obviously, you just hope for a good game, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Fair enough. I don't think anybody will have a problem with that one at all. All right, let's head out to the people. See who wants to talk to Drew Hutchison. Jay is in Toronto. Jay, you're going to be the leadoff man. Say hello to Drew.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Just had a question about turnover on the team, Drew. I know there's going to be some guys leaving you know, that won't be back this next season. And specifically, I wanted to ask sort of about Casey Jansen. He's pitched in Toronto for quite a while. And I just wonder, for a younger player like you, when you look at somebody like Casey, who's sort of pushing into his mid-30s, and he's been with the Jays his whole career, and he's never sort of had any kind of a taste of a pennant race or playoffs or anything like that. I wonder if that's something that is concerning to you or some of the younger guys, just with all the trouble that the franchise has had being competitive over the years. Is that something you guys think about or talk about?
First of all, thank you for your call. You know, Casey's great. You know, he was really good to me when I first came up in 2012. And, you know, I know a lot of the guys look up to him, especially the guys in the pen. You know, the way he's been and the way he's competed, you know, in Toronto for, I think it's been 9 years, like you mentioned. And the way he's played and the type of person he is and player, they don't get much better than him. As to the other part of your question, I wouldn't say it's concerning because, you know, for me, I have no control over what's happened in the past when I haven't been on the team. You know, unfortunately, there's nothing I could have done to help that team. And, you know, for me and, you know, all the other guys, like you mentioned, you know, what's happened in the past, you know, we have no control over. All we can do is try to do the best we can to win with our team going forward. And I think that's the goal of everyone.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Drew.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the call.
It's interesting because I think there are a lot of people, Drew, who think that, you know, a team that's the fact that the team hasn't been in the playoffs for 21 years weighs on the guys who are on the roster right now. But, you know, you were 3 years old the last time the Blue Jays were in the playoffs. And I don't see anybody walking around that room saying, man, this is a franchise that just can't win. What's going on here? It's all about what's going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like you said, we're aware of what's happened before, and, you know, we want to win every year. So whether we'd been in the playoffs 2 years ago, I don't think that really changes anything with the present year, whether it's, you know, unfortunately it's been as long as it is. But, you know, even if, say the team had been in the playoffs 10 years ago, you know, our approach is going to be the exact same because we all want to win. And that's what everybody's trying to do together and, you know, bring the playoffs back to Toronto and then hopefully, you know, a lot farther than that.
You grew up in Lakeland where the Tigers have their spring training and when you were growing up, the Indians had their spring training just a few miles away in Winter Haven and the Blue Jays aren't far. But, you know, when you were growing up, the Blue Jays really weren't a factor almost ever. Was it a team that, what we always kind of want to know what people in the States think about us. And my answer to people when they ask me, what do people in the U.S. think about, or what have they thought about the Blue Jays the last 20 years? My answer has always been, well, they really haven't because they've never been in a race. What was your impression of the team before they drafted you?
I'll be honest. I didn't know very much at all. You know, I knew certain players. I knew, you know, obviously, you know, Joe Carter, walk-off home run. That's what pretty much everybody thinks, their first thought. But to be honest, I didn't know very much at all. But, you know, coming in the organization and learning about the team, going on the winter tour a couple of years ago, really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And, you know, obviously I enjoy playing for the Blue Jays and playing for the whole country. So it's unique and it's a great opportunity and it's great.
With Drew Hutchison, back to the phones we go. Trevor is in the GUE. Welcome aboard, Trevor. Say hi to Drew.
Hey, Drew. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, first of all, Drew, loved watching you pitch on Canada Day. Amazing game and happy with your with the team. My question is, there's been a lot of talk and commentary lately about the turf at the Rogers Centre, how it's limiting free agents coming in. And kind of two questions. Just wanted to know if there was a concern in the clubhouse, obviously among the players, and anything you guys do to minimize the impact for the position players. And do you really think that, and have you heard that players don't want to come to Toronto because of the turf? And look forward to your thoughts. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. Obviously, a lot of guys, you know, being a pitcher, it's not as big a concern for me as, say, guys who play the infield or the outfield, you know, are out there taking a beating on it every day. I know it is, you know, somewhat of a concern for them, but as far as the free agency part goes, I mean, I haven't reached that part yet, and I'm not real sure if it does or if it doesn't. I'm sure with an older player who's maybe had an injury history, I'm sure, you know, maybe it does come into play a little bit just from that perspective. But at the end of the day, you know, if you want to be somewhere, you know, I think guys are going to come, and if you're winning and you have a chance to win a world championship, I think that'll outweigh, you know, the other things.
And that's the way it worked in the early 90s when guys like Dave Winfield and Jack Morris and Paul Molitor and Dave Stewart were more than happy to come to Toronto. But, well, I guess as a Central Florida guy, you'd be familiar with this too. When I talked to Jose Bautista on Sunday, he made a plea, he said, on behalf of the team to at least put in a dirt infield like they have at the Trop in St. Pete. You think that would help?
Yeah, you know what? I think that would help a lot. You know, at least the outfield's the outfield, and, you know, those guys understand. But, you know, I think that with the four guys who are in the infield, if that can help, and, you know, which obviously, you know, personally, I think it would help. I think that would be a good first step, and I think those guys, you know, would appreciate it, and it would help them out a lot.
I wonder how feasible it is. I mean, I've heard that it can't because of the multipurposeness of the place, and they have to pick the turf up and take it out all the time, as opposed to the Trop where it just stays down there. But it really, to me too, it does seem like it would be really, really helpful for at least the guys who play the infield. And as a guy who relies, obviously, on those guys, let me put you on the spot here, Drew Hutchison. Brett Laurie.
All right.
You like him better at second or third?
It doesn't matter. As long as he's on Brett Laurie on the field, that's what I prefer. How about that?
All right. There you go. Perfect answer. Drew Hutchison is with us, and we're taking your calls. We're going to step away, and we'll bring the rest of the country in with us. It'll become a Canada-wide Blue Jay a Day pregame show. As we continue, we are getting you set for the National League wildcard game, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the San Francisco Giants. Drew Hutchison is here to take your calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We continue with the Blue Jay A Day pregame show, and then 8:07, first pitch, Edinson Volquez against Madison Bumgarner. And even with the lefty on the mound for the Giants, Travis Snyder is starting in right field for Pittsburgh and batting eighth. Blue Jay Day pregame continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Drew Hutchison is with us, and we're taking your calls for one more segment here at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Before we get back to the calls, Drew, is there a story of the year for you, for the Blue Jays, about how things went the way they went? I mean, people are frustrated and disappointed by the fact that, you know, it was a 6-game lead in the American League East in early June, a 3-game lead in on the wild card on August 1st. But this team still is finished 9 games better than it did last season, finished a game behind the Yankees for second place in the division. And I know for you, those are pretty hollow things. But when you look back on this year, and I know it's only been in the rearview mirror for 3 days, what do you see that the whole coulda, woulda, shoulda thing?
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's obviously disappointing. And, you know, for us, it was obviously a great opportunity that we had. And you know, we didn't get the job done. You know, like you mentioned, it's only been 3 days, so you're still kind of in the middle of it, and you haven't really had a chance to take a step back and maybe gain full perspective. But so, you know, right now it's still pretty sour, and it's still you know, just one of those feelings that you don't want to have.
Did you think? I mean, I know that you have high expectations for yourself, very obviously, and you knew you were ready to go this year. Did you think you'd wind up leading this team in strikeouts?
I don't know. I think it's something I knew I was obviously capable of. I didn't know if it was something necessarily I thought I would do, or have as many as I did. I think it's just, you know, something that maybe kind of happened. you know, just from, you know, the way I pitch and getting ahead of guys and just being able to put them away.
I asked you, like I asked everybody, to vote for all those things, MVP and Rookie of the Year, Pitcher of the Year and stuff. And when I asked you to vote on most pleasant surprise of the season, I'm not going to say who you voted for, but I you asked who was in the running, and it was Aaron Sanchez was leading and Deonor Navarro was second, and you immediately said, I'm not voting for Deonor Navarro because pitching to him in spring training, I knew he was capable of this. How important was Deonor to your staff?
No, he's real important. You know, obviously, anytime you're able to get into a good place with your catcher, it makes everything a lot easier. You know, a lot of times, if your mind's kind of already on one pitch and you haven't thrown it yet, in that kind of situation, and you look down there and he's already putting it down, you know, it's a real good feeling. And you know, we had a great rapport with him, and I know a lot of the other guys too. You know, you look at Burley who never shakes, and you know, I think a lot of his success, you know, you can give a lot of that to Navarro also, and just the way he works with guys, you know, he meant a lot to us this year.
With Drew Hutchison, and he's taking your calls, and second segment is always less of me and more of you, so let's get right back to it. Rick is in Mississauga. Rick, say hi to Drew Hutchison.
Hey, how are you, Drew?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How are you?
Fabulous. Listen, I had a pleasure of watching you pitch on the final home game, the final homestand, where Marcus took over for you, and it was really good to see you get back on track in the second half and have a strong finish. Had a question for you. Growing up, obviously, you were not just a pitcher. You were like any baseball player, hitting as well. Do you miss the hitting part, coming to an American League team, and do you look forward to those interleague games, or is this something that you'd rather just not do and focus on the pitching?
Remember that you're talking to a guy who hit 500 this year.
Oh, man.
Don't forget about that. Drew Hutchison hit 500 this year.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
that was the highest on the team. I haven't let anybody forget about that either.
That's right.
But, I definitely miss it. I was actually going to college as a shortstop, and, you know, so anytime, you know, we get to hit and we face the National League team, it's you kind of circle those dates and hope you start one of those games. It's a different feel, but, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Did you ever throw your hat in the ring when Gibby was using Marcus Stroman to pinch run a couple of times? I think you went out there once.
A couple times.
Yeah.
And sometimes it depends who's pitching the next day. If, you know, Stroh's pitching the next day, then I would run. So it kind of goes like that sometimes, too. I had a pretty decent slide earlier in the year, but, you know, it's fun. It's, you know, a lot of times you kind of get thrown in that same category as a kicker, you know, for football. And so when you get your chance to, you know, do a little bit more, you enjoy it.
And you and I had this conversation. I can't remember if it was this year or if it was back in 2012, where everybody gets so rattled whenever a pitcher gets on base. It's like you're a piece of glass when you guys are all professional athletes.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know. Like I said, you know, they kind of give you the kicker treatment, like, oh no, you know, and everybody gets nervous. You know, we're all, for the most part, we're all athletes, and we can handle ourselves.
I mean, nobody's going to send Mark Burley out to pinch run, but the rest of you, I'm sure, are good to go. And yeah, and even when Steve Tolleson got to pitch a couple of times, I remember you being very quick to remind that Steve Tolleson is not the best hitting pitcher on this team. Drew Hutchison hit 500. John is in Pottageville. John, say hi to Drew.
How are you doing tonight, Drew?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Look, I noticed this year it seemed to be the opposing pitchers were complaining about the mound in the Rogers Stadium. Is there that much difference between our mound and other ones you play in? Like, does this one seem to be harder or something, and they don't slide as good when they're going through the follow-through, or is it just they're out there complaining?
No, it's no different than any other ones. You know, our grounds crew, you know, works really hard and does a great job on the mound. It's just like anywhere else. It just depends on the weather that day. And, you know, sometimes when you have a day game and, the mound's going to get dry and there's going to be big holes. That happens everywhere. And, you know, it had sometimes where they'd have to come out there and fix it. But that's more due to the weather or, you know, the way of, you know, on a certain day than anything else, really.
I guess in the Sky Dome, it's more because of the heat than anything else.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Are there good mounds and are there bad mounds in Major League Baseball? Do you have places where you look forward to because of the mound, or to you are they all the same?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny though, if you talk to a pitcher about their favorite mound and their least favorite mound, you know, I don't think you're going to talk to a guy that gave up 7 runs at a park and say how much he loved the mound.
Right.
He usually likes the mound in places where he's had success before, but there's definitely certain places where you are just visually the way it looks, the view to home where you enjoy more than others.
Do you have a favorite road stadium?
Not really. I enjoyed the mound in Detroit. I liked it. Obviously, I had success there, so that probably has a little bit to do with it also. But for some reason, I liked it. You know, they have the little different where they have the actual dirt leading to the plate,
yep.
Whereas not just, you know, all grass in front. And I kind of liked it.
Yeah, it is a cool different look for sure in Detroit. Let's get back to the phones. Frank is in Burlington. We just got a few minutes left with Drew Hutchison. Go ahead, Frank.
Good evening, and Drew, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem, Frank.
I wonder if you could tell us about your training regimen over the off season, and whether how many days you might pitch, or you know how many pitches you might throw, and you know weights and running and that sort of thing, just to make sure you're ready for spring training next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right now I'm just kind of relax and let everything kind of let the body, you know, just relax and heal up a little bit. I'll take probably about 3 weeks off here, and then I'll start doing some cardio. I'll start doing some running, and then build into it. And probably by the end of November, I'll be in full swing, lifting weights, pretty heavy in the off season. It's the time to get your strength back and gain strength. Whereas that, you know, during the season, you're just trying to maintain. So, I would say about the end of November, December, you're in full swing, and I won't even pick up a baseball until right after Christmas, usually either the last week of December or the first week in January, and then slowly build in into spring training to be ready to go.
How much weight training do pitchers do, but is it different for you guys than position players, and are there bigger lifters than others as far as the pitching staff is concerned?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's relative to certain guys do certain things they like. Everybody's body is different. So for me, I do a lot of heavy lower body. I do a lot of squats, do a lot of deadlifts, a lot of sled pushes and pulls, things like that. You know, as a pitcher, you don't want to do anything going above your shoulder, you know, for body wise. So that's the main difference between pitchers and position players is, you know, your shoulder and your arm. And you know, things of that sort. And you know, some guys they don't lift that much, but what they do, you know, they has worked for them in the past. And you know, everybody's just a little bit different, and you have to find what works for you.
I'm assuming you got to know your arm very, very well during 2013. Do you feel like you know your body better now post surgery, and how much better do you know it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've had this talk with a lot of people, and the way I kind of describe it is, you know, before something's hurt, you don't realize it. Say if you have a foot injury, you don't think about your foot before it happens. So everything feels good because you don't know anything different. And that's just, you know, the same thing with my arm. Not that I didn't know anything about it before, but going through what I went through taught me so much more about it and how it works, that you just have a much better body awareness, I guess, would be the best way to describe it.
We're with Drew Hutchison, and we got time for a couple more calls. I'm going to let Drew go. You've been very generous with your time, and we appreciate it. Carlos in Kitchener, listening on 570 News. Welcome to the Blue Jay A Day pregame show. Say hi to Drew Hutchison.
Hey, Drew, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Two games really stick out in my mind that you pitched last season. One was the game in Texas, and one was the game in Detroit. Those games really stick out in my mind, and hope to see more of those in 2015. So my question that I want to ask you is that you know, those type of games, do you feel when you're warming up in the bullpen that, hey, I really got my good stuff today? Or is it really, you know, you get into the game and then you feel you got the good stuff? Can you just tell me, you know, is it a bullpen thing when you're warming up, or is it, you know, when you actually get in the game?
No, it's you know, it's funny. It's more execution in the game. There have been times where I've warmed up and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to have a great night tonight, and I'm sitting on the bench in the third going, what just happened? It's funny you mentioned the game in Detroit. I had been pushed back a couple days, and we had an off day the day before. And I remember warming up, and it was terrible. I was all over the place. I felt terrible. And I remember walking in and just kind of looking at Pete Walker, and both just kind of smiled. And, you know, I went out, and I had a great game. So it's just kind of how it goes sometimes, and it's more execution in the game than how you feel warming up.
That's 7 innings of 3-hit shutout at the Tigers in a series that the Blue Jays wound up sweeping. You didn't walk anybody. 7 strikeouts in that game. And it is funny. You hear these stories of guys who throw no-hitters feeling like they had absolutely nothing in the bullpen that day. And you know, like you said before, you can have the best bullpen ever and go out and get lit up.
Oh, yeah. It's happened more times than I would have liked, that's for sure.
Mena is in Brampton. Say hi to Drew Hutchison.
Oh, hi, Drew.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to mention, I know I'm a female, and every time we listen to the shows, they're always men that are, you know, males that talk. But my son and I, we went to go see the game that you pitched with the over at the Sky Dome at Rogers Center in the month of August at the Baltimore Orioles, and you did a one-hitter.
Yes, sir.
And I just couldn't believe this pitcher, how fantastic. It was like strikeout and strikeout. And, you know, I mean, I'm really old. I'm not that young. But to see a young person like you pitch, I just couldn't understand how our team didn't actually win, you know, to go off into the playoffs. And also seeing the other guys, Dickey and Burley and Happ and the rest of them pitch very well. What was the problem that made us lose games that we thought for sure we would win them?
Well, first of all, thank you for coming down to the game, and I appreciate it. We might have to get you there for a couple more of the ones I picked if, you know, that's one of the few you've been to and I was able to do good. So first of all, thank you for that. You know, it was just tough. It's, you know, it's a team game. Collectively, you know, we weren't consistent enough the last couple of months. Obviously, we would have liked it to go a little bit differently, and you know, overall, we just didn't get the job done. We had some really good stretches in there, which you know, everyone saw, and unfortunately, we just fell a little bit short this year.
The one hitter, and the Blue Jays had 3 one hitters in the space of 6 weeks. They were all combined. You started 2 of them. I think Marcus Stroman started the other one. What's it like being involved, throwing that well? Do you know what's going on? It's not a no hitter, obviously, but are you aware of how dominant you are, and do you try to kind of, I don't know, bottle that feeling so you can have it again?
Yeah, you're obviously aware of it when it's going on, and especially, you know, the second one, when I'd come out and Aaron came in for the last 2 innings, I was more aware of it afterwards, because you're so locked into what you're doing sometimes. You know, things are going good, but you're not sure exactly what's going on. But, yeah, definitely, you know, when you have games like that, you definitely try to bottle it up and keep that feeling and try to get it to continue, that's for sure.
All right, one more call. Rob is in Elora. Rob, you're the last one with Drew. Make it good.
I'll try my best. And first, thanks for just taking my call, guys.
Pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a sports fan, Drew, I really appreciate your compete level. I think it's second to none on the Blue Jays. My son and I had a discussion this summer, and this is before you went on your run in the second half. And he's 27 years old, so you can kind of guess my age. And I was telling him that in the very near future, you're going to be the 1 or 2 starter on this team. And he wasn't so sure. Again, this is before the second half. What can you tell him that's going to change his mind? Because I really believe you will be that guy.
Well, first of all, thank you. I appreciate that. That's obviously you know, every pitcher's goal is to obviously be the guy. And, you know, for me, thank you also for the compliment about competing. That's something I feel like is, you know, number one. You can go out there with absolutely nothing one night and not really have it, but you know, you still have to go out there and compete and do everything you can to win the game, or, you know, some nights just keep your team in it. I think that's a big thing when you don't have it, to go out there and be able to grind through those innings and give your team the best chance to win on nights maybe where you don't have your best stuff. And I think that's what separates a lot of guys is, you take a look at the guys who are really good and the guys who are just okay, and the difference is the nights when they don't have their good stuff, what they're able to do, the way they're able to pitch, and the way they're able to you know, turn the lineup over and go deep in the games necessarily when they don't have their best stuff, and you know, keep their team in it, and when they're not, you know, exactly at their best. I feel like that's the difference between the guys who are really elite and guys who are just okay.
And it's a tough goal to set for yourself, but it speaks very well that's what you're trying to do, especially as a guy who, you know, first full season, just in the infancy of your major league career, even though you've been around for 3 years in the big leagues, it is something to see when you're out there on the mound. Drew, first of all, thanks so much for all this time. We appreciate you giving of your time so much. The tradition on this program, I know this is the first time you've done it, is that before we send you off, I pick out a stat or two over the course of the season just past that you might not know about that really really jumps out to me. I got a couple for you that you may not be aware of. When you pitched with runners on second and third this year, the opposition hit 91 against you. 1 for 11. There weren't that many situations, but that stands out. Runner on third with less than two out, the opposition had a 4.11 OPS against you, a 200 batting average, no extra base hits, and a 2.11 on base. So I think you walked a guy. And clutch stats, the late and close situation, which would be seventh inning or later with your team tied down by one or with the tying run on deck. In late and close situations, you held opponents to a 1.14 batting average, 4 for 35 in those situations. So to me, all those numbers, those are really loud and really, really impressive.
Well, I wasn't aware of any of those, so I'm kind of sitting here thinking about them. So, you know, I have to think about that and take a look at them. And I appreciate you picking out the good ones and not the bad ones, which I'm sure are in there somewhere.
There are always bad ones in there somewhere, but the good ones are a lot more fun.
Let me know about the bad ones and not the good ones, so I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much. Enjoy your winter, and we look forward to catching up with you in Dunedin in February.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.